Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Wednesday, May 22nd, 2019. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now on Twitter at Chris Lamberth. This is episode 353. There's no guest. It's just me sitting here in my apartment. Just got off work. Just got done at the grocery store. Dropped some dry cleaning off. And I'm here. I'm committed to you guys. My apologies for the late episode, but I was busy. I was living a life worth commenting on. How about that, you guys? How about that for a good reason to why this show was late? I was away last weekend back in my hometown, the Maryland, D.C. area. I was opening for my good buddy Paul Verzi at the D.C. Improv. They were really cool shows. Always a pleasure to work with Paul. Got to work with Andy Klein, one of my OGs, one of my comedy mentors. And he emceed. I had to follow him and do my thing. And that was very cool to get to work with two of my good friends in comedy. It really doesn't get much better than that. Some good hangs. Andy and Paul are great hangs anyway. So it was really cool to just get to hang with them and after the show. Like, the shows were great. Like, if you came to the shows, I'm sure you had a great time. But then just comics hanging out after the show was pretty much fantastic. It was, we were laughing, crying in the green room, just laughing so hard that we were crying. If you check out Paul Verzi's show, The Verzi Effect, he talks about this dude that we met in a cigar bar. I'll leave that so you can just listen to Paul talk about it. And then maybe the next time I get him on here, we'll laugh about that shit again. And if you're a Patreon listener, if you listen to this episode, if you listen to this podcast before, you would have heard Paul on a few episodes back in the day. Maybe like the last time he was on was 4 years ago on the main feed. And then he and I did a joint Patreon episode. So, yeah, good buddy, Paul. And you know Andy, obviously, if you listen to this show. And, yeah, there was just some good shows. Good hangs, good food. Went to this place. What do you call that area? I guess it's off. I don't know if that's officially off Connecticut, but there's a bar called Rewind. We went there twice. They had great sliders, great fish tacos. Other food was good too, but that's mainly what we ate. I think Andy had the chicken and waffles. He did, and that looked good. He said it was good. But that place was great. I'm trying to think where else the quesadillas at the DC Improv, fucking incredible. Oh my God. I'm not even a big quesadilla type guy, but I've had some good ones in my life, but to date, some of the best I've ever eaten. Oh my God. So good. So there were fun shows. Got to see the Parental Units, got to hang out with them for a little bit. Caught up on Good Girls on NBC. I think the finale's next week. If you're not into that show and you're into, since Game of Thrones is gone, you can probably steamroll. Well, with this holiday weekend, I'm sure you can. If you're just chilling, you're not partying or anything, I'm sure you can get through season one is 10 episodes on Netflix. And currently season two has 12 episodes. But it's something you could start. You can get into. I recommend that. I really dig it. Christina Hendricks, Retta and Mae Whitman. Great show. Great show. Really fun. Especially for a network show. It's really fun. And they kind of end on, every episode basically ends on a cliffhanger. And it's pretty fun. Here's, I'll talk about some Fat Boy Corner stuff. So I talked about I talked about the Rewind, which is a good place. That was the only, we went to the Mayflower, but that was a Mayflower hotel. We just kind of hung out there. It was interesting that there was like, that place, I think it's connected to this club called Decades. And there were these different floors and you get all the way to the top. So Paul and I went there after the first show and, we climbed up like four levels of stairs. And then at the top, there was a club and it was blasting like Nas, like 90s hip hop. And there were like these young girls, like they were old enough to get in the bar, but in the club or whatever. But when we got up there, they were like, it looks like they looked at me and Paul that like, old guys. And I went to the bathroom and then we went down to the bar because we were trying to figure out what that place was. But it was cool. Like if you're a young person and you're trying to club and dance, it's great. And then we went to this and then Saturday night we went to this place. Oh man, I think it might be called the Public. And if you're from DC, it's like next door to the Shake Shack that's down there. And I got a story about Shake Shack. I'll get to that. But we go up there and there's not that many. There's like a hand. We were like, they were closed for a while. And then I think they did some renovations or it might be a brand new, restaurant/venue. And it wasn't that many people there, but there was a DJ blasting music, just going crazy with the music. And we were trying to just hang out and talk. We're old dudes. You know, I'm almost 40. Paul and Andy are in their 40s. We just wanted to shoot the shit and watch the game. We tried to watch that fight, but it was over by the it was the first round knockout. So we didn't get to watch the fight. So we were watching Golden State and Portland go at it. I think that was a Saturday game. I don't remember. I think it might have been the Bucks in Toronto. I don't even remember at this point, to be honest with you. We were trying to watch a game. I think that might have been Saturday night. Anyway, and it was just this loud ass music, and we got a table and we just ate. And the food was good there too. I believe it's the Public. We had little tiny tacos, and I think Paul had a quesadilla, but it was good. That was cool. Then I went to Shake Shack the next day before the show to get something, and it was good. Shake Shack is always like, is Shake Shack a Shake Shack? I think it's burger heroin, but I think I might be a little tired of Shake Shack for now, unless I get a taste for it. Shake Shack is, I've always liked it, but I think I'm kind of over it a little bit. I don't know if it's better than, I still don't think it's better than Fuddruckers. It's just not. So anyway, I'm in there eating, and apparently they have this Game of Thrones style milkshake, and they have it in a special cup. And the girl, one of the women working there, was handing them out. She said, oh, do you like Game of Thrones? Here's a cup. She gave everybody a cup, asked everybody if they wanted a cup except me. And I was looking at the cup. I was trying to see if it was like the texture of it was like plastic, but it looked like just a cheap ass cup that could be thrown away or some shit. So then I wasn't that mad at I wasn't too mad, but it was just like, yo, you didn't ask me for one. You didn't ask me if I wanted one. That was kind of weird. I don't know. I felt some kind of way about it. I mean, if I'm talking about the shit on a podcast and it was about 4 days ago, then I still feel some kind of way about it. That was about it. As far as Fat Boy Corner stuff, food, yeah. I recommend Rewind. Nice, a nice diner bar. It's good bar food. So there's like a club at the top and a nice diner. We were trying to go there Saturday night, but it was packed. Obviously, the young kids are trying to party on Friday and Saturday night. But Thursday and Sunday night, if you're old, if you're an old head and you want to enjoy yourself down in that area in D.C., then you can do that. What else? Okay, so it's been a while since we talked. So, so about 2 weeks ago, the homie Damian Lemon hit me up from the In the Conversation podcast. Good buddy hit me up. He's like, "Hey man, you fuck with pizza?" I was like, "Yeah, dude." He's like, "You ever been in this place, Santillo's?" And I was like, "No, but I think I heard about it." And I looked it up and I said, "Yeah, I had actually like bookmarked that like Fat Boy Reconnaissance because it was on a list of like best pizza in New Jersey. And it's in Elizabeth, New Jersey, which is about a half an hour to 45 minutes away from me. And I had just remembered, I never took the time to go down there. And he was like, "All right, man. Well, let's go next." He was like, two or three weeks ago, he was like, "Let's go next Friday." So the day comes for us to go. He picks me up. We drive down there. And in Elizabeth, New Jersey, only thing I've really known about Elizabeth, New Jersey is the fact that they have an IKEA there. There used to be a Toys R Us. And there's like a Babies R Us. And one of my coworkers told me that the movie theater, I guess, used to be nice, or it's just kind of hood and it's weird or something. I don't know. That's all that I knew about Elizabeth. So we go to this place and it just reminds me of like, it's very of the area. It's very Jersey. It was like, "There's, what kind of pie do you want?" It's like it's been there. Let me look this up. It's been there for a long time. Santillo's. Santillo Pizza. It's been there since, I'm on the website. It's one of these old, kind of like a GeoCities. It's not really GeoCities, but I mean, it's better. They got, I'm trying to see how long it's been around. Oh, man. I don't know. It's been around for a long time. And they've got like, maybe, okay, About Us. Let's see what About Us, the About Us says. "Take three generations of pizza making, an antique oven that's more than 100 years old, and a passion for the perfect pie, and you've got one of the most unique pizzerias in the country. Santillo's Brick Oven Pizza in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Back in 1920, Lou Santillo started out delivering bread in a horse and buggy, but he was also making focaccia, pizza dough baked in a pan with various toppings, for his family at home." I'm not going to read all of this. Let's see, 1950, he decided to make pizza. 1957. All right, it's been around for a long time. And it's been featured on, like, this YouTube guy that does pizza and shit. It's good. It's a good pie. And I'm trying to see what else it's. And they have like Sicilian slices. They have, I don't think they have thin crust. It's really good. It's definitely, it's got voted best pizzeria in New Jersey. The only other place I could compare it to, I don't think it's, you can actually compare that to, anyway, it's one of the, it's definitely a really good pie. I liked it, but they have different types. And, I really dug it. It was a nice excursion. And so there's no place to sit in there. So they have it set up where you can go to a bar. There's a bar called the Pastime Tavern. And it's definitely, I was apprehensive about this. But it was like, you know, it's, I was thinking like, okay, well, at least it'll be an adventure, because there were not any, there was one black guy that got a pie, and he was one of those black dudes. You know how middle-aged black guys wear Bluetooth in their ear and they're talking? This guy had a New York Jets hat, and he had an earpiece that made it look like he was one of the coaches for the New York Jets, but no football was going on. It's April. It was April. It's May. It's May when we were out there. And it's springtime, and he was just like telling us about his son and hooking up with these girls, and just, it was just really weird. It got weird, but we were just gonna ask. I think we were just asking him, "Oh, is it good?" He's like, "Oh man, you know, if you don't like it, I'll pay for it." But and then he wouldn't give us his name, and we and Damien called him on it, and then he had to laugh, and then he saw us like hanging out, waiting for our shit, and then he was just like talking to us for like 20, 25 minutes. And then after he finished talking to us, our shit was pretty much done. And so we got the pie, and we're trying to figure out where we were going to eat this thing. And they told us to go to the bar. We found the bar, and they were very welcoming, because it wasn't that part of town. It seemed like a place where black people don't go. And I was like, I don't know if I was sure about going in there. And we were just like, fuck it, let's do it. And we went in there, and they were very accommodating. And I took a picture and put it on Instagram, a couple shots. And it was nice. And I bought a couple drinks, and the lady was very nice. I tipped her well. And all that good stuff. And it's a good pie. So I do recommend going to Santillo's. Yesterday, and then so later on, a couple weeks, was it over the weekend, the homie D Lemon hits me up. And I tell him about this place called Kinchley's Tavern, which I've talked about on here, which was also on that list. Now, I don't know if that was listed as the best pizza, but it's up there. It reminded me. I don't know if this is, I guess when I think about, when I think about pizza, and I think about some, like from my childhood, I would say that Shakey's is some of the best pizza I had as a kid. And I remember going in there yesterday. So I'll preface it by saying this. So I tell Damien, I was like, yeah, there's a place called Kinchley's Tavern in Ramsey, New Jersey. It's like maybe 20 minutes north of me. And that's also good. And I sent him a link and sent him like the like Yelp and all that shit. And so I'm out and about last weekend, you know, doing gigs and shit. And I get a text from Damien, and he sends me just a picture of Kinchley's and of a coaster with the Kinchley's and all that shit on there. I was like, oh shit, you went. I was like, what'd you think? He was like, yo, he liked it better than Santillo's. And I was like, oh shit. And that put it in my head where I was like, fuck, I want to go. So I went to go see John Wick 3. And after the movie, I went over there and got a pie. And I was thinking about this place, because it's come up a bunch of times on the show. And when I went in there yesterday, it reminded that smell, the smell of the pizza, the smell of like onions and the peppers reminded me of Shakey's, how Shakey's smelled when I walked in there as a kid, like with my dad. I think my mom used to like Shakey's too. I mean, it was a family place, but we definitely would go there like after games. We'd had like football. I think we had like basketball banquets and stuff in there after the season and shit. And they had an arcade. It was definitely a place. And now it's like a seafood place. It used to be a liquor store. Now it's a seafood place. But Shakey's was the shit. And I remember, and this has come up a bunch of times, but I remember people were talking about it on Twitter. they're like shitting on Shakey's. I was like, whoa, 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 nah, nah, we're not gonna have no Shakey slander on social media right now. Because at least the one that I went to, there was one in it's not Landover Hills. There was one in like Silver Spring area. It was north of where I lived. I've been there a couple of times, but the one in Forestville, man, that shit was great. So it smelled like that. And so Kinchley's, I mean, is dope. It's more of a thin crust pie. We had a Sicilian at Santillo's, and they also have like the round. So I don't know. I guess people have fucked up pizza, but you can't really fuck it up too bad. But great pizza is great pizza. And they're great for different reasons. But I just kind of got introduced within the last 5 to 6 years of Sicilian slices, which is like the square. It's kind of thick. And I kind of like that. Like, there's a place called Nona's in Westchester that I used to go to. It's still good. I just don't like leaving my job that much. I just don't like leaving for lunch in the middle of the day. That is it. That's a good pie. Anyway, so Kinchley's is the place that comes up every time I talk about race and like cities and different towns. Like, I talk about how, yeah, like how Jersey is the tri-state area, and definitely when you're close to New York as I am, without actually being in New York City, and you travel in different regions in Jersey, you're not that far from people who think differently than you, and you know, who may not be as liberal as you are, or may have MAGA hats. Hey, I didn't hit the guy. I wasn't gonna hit the dude, but you know how when I was driving trying to catch a light, and I saw this guy. It was like early in the morning, and this older guy walking across the street. I was like, I'm not gonna hit you, brother. And then he had on old white guy had on a MAGA hat, and I was like, oh my god. And that's in Teaneck. That's like literally right up the street. So I order my pizza, and I'm sitting down, and in the bar area, sitting on a little couch, and the bar is in front of me. And there's always like I was the only black guy in there. There's an Indian guy in there waiting for his pizza. And there's always, it always seems to be when it's a person of color, it's always like an Indian dude there. So this pizza crosses racial barriers and lines and religions and all that shit because it's so good. And sitting down, and then they've got the news playing on TV. Can't really hear it. They got the news and the baseball game. And they show Nancy Pelosi walking into a meeting or a conference or something. And this old white lady was like, she's the problem. But I was like, oh, shit. I was like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And that was the first time where, you know, I go in there and you think that people may not like you or feel some type of way about you being in there. But like, I could see her being like, yeah, you're one of the, you did not vote for Hillary. And you're one of the people that we needed. So I just found that funny. But most of all, like, the pizza's great, you know. That just, I don't know why I brought this up, but I was talking about Fat Boy stuff. I was talking about pizza. I recommend both places. I recommend Kinchley's, and I recommend Santillo's. What else? Was there anything else? Oh, I had a victory over the Delaware Department of Transportation. So the last time I went home, I think it might have been on my way back from Maryland, when I went to see Van Hunt. I went to see my parents, and I drove. However I got through Delaware, I get this thing in the mail that says I had a parking violation. I'm looking at this shit. I'm like, I don't have a, not a parking violation, like an easy pass violation when you don't get charged, or you don't, your easy pass doesn't get charged or some shit. And I was like, what the fuck is this? I mean, I've had my easy pass for years now, and I never try to avoid anything. I pay that shit every month. You know, it's coming out of my checking account every month. So I'm looking in there, and they say, okay, it was $4. The toll was $4. It was a toll violation. That's what it is. So the toll was $4. And they said, if you don't pay this, you have to pay $60. And they listed all these different fees and all this shit. And I was like, no way. And they said, if you want to contest this, you can send a $4 check. And then you can send in your, a most recent, easy pass history. And I did that. Like, I downloaded my last bill or something, and I gave them a $4 check, and I sent it. They sent it to me with only like 2 or 3 days to respond, but I sent it anyway. And I think I would have passed the deadline, but I sent it anyway. And then I saw where they cashed that check, so I was like, I had to have beat it. And then they sent me a letter back saying that you disregard the, you know, the violations and all that stuff. Because one thing, as an American, I always try to do right for the most part. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I'm a tax-paying citizen. And I, you know, try to do what's right, especially when it comes to that. Like, the general thing is, you make your life a lot easier. You make life's a lot easier when you get an easy pass. You don't have to worry. You connect it to your checking account or your credit card or something, so you don't have to worry about it, you know? So that's what I do. And for them to say that, it's like, what the fuck? Like, you're trying to get me on this shit? I was like, no, you're not. I'm not having that today. But now I don't know. Like, driving through D.C., the last time I was in D.C. working last year when I was at the D.C. Draft House, they said I blew a light, and I don't know, like, driving in D.C., like, I grew up in that area. I went to school in D.C., but I just went to school in Southeast D.C., and my mom and my parents and my aunt were driving me everywhere. So I didn't really get to a feel of this. I really don't know D.C., to be honest with you. I know Chicago, and I know New York City a lot better than I know D.C., because I didn't come of age, like, as far as being a young adult, like, going to parties and hanging out and all that stuff. I never really did that in D.C. It was just the grown-up shit, going to bars and clubs and all that, and concerts, was really in Chicago and in New York. So I'm not knowing where I'm going. I was trying to make a turn, and one guy was like, a pedestrian was like, hey, look at the light. He was like gesturing to the light. I was like, dude, I don't know. I'm probably going to get a fucking ticket. I hope I don't. But, you know, and then I was driving my parents around to the store last week, and they were just on me about the speed limit. It's just like, and they're so, like, they worry about me going fast. And my dad's been in control all of his life, and now he's older, and he's sitting in the passenger seat. He's still not used to that shit. So it's just like, you're going to give your dad a heart attack. You're trying to get, and it's just that family shit. It's just like, when you come home, you revert to the, I don't know if you guys feel this, but Pete Holmes had a great joke when he had his talk show on TBS. Was it TBS or TNT? He had the show that Conan produced, and his talk show, he was talking about, like, you kind of revert back to certain roles. You're like, I'm not trying to do anything like that, Mom. You know, just all that shit. Try to start arguments and all. I don't do that shit. I just try to chill and have a good time. Anyway, I've already said too much about that. But, yeah, I was glad that I beat that. And that made me feel good that I just did. They don't think you're going to do that extra work. They think you're just going to pay them $60 or just go online and pay that money. But I was like, no. I'm going to print this shit out and I'm going to go to FedEx Kinko's and I'm going to make some shit happen. And I didn't even have to pay for postage. I think I had like, I was going to do the postage on my credit card and they were like, no, don't, because I didn't have any cash. And like, no. We'll just, they waived the fee. So that was neat. So I thought I'd share that with you. Also, I want to talk to you guys about this. I either got to have Damien back on or get Dominic Rivera back on to talk about these sneakers and shit. Because, like, Kasim, when he was on, he was telling me, oh, don't fall into this trap of these sneakers and stuff, collecting sneakers. I really don't. I wear the shoes that I buy. And I'm not, like, I like sneakers. And, like, ever since Instagram, it's just been hot chicks, action figures, sneakers, and comedians, friends, you know. And I've always, like, I mean, I'm not balling by any means. But every now and then you want to treat yourself to a nice new pair of shoes. So I actually won the Jordan 4s, the retros. It's like you win a chance to buy some, to spend your fucking money. I tried, obviously you know that I tried to get the Nike Off-Whites. I think those are my holy grails. The black ones and then the desert tan kind of, but I would want those, but if I get a really huge acting gig, I'm definitely probably going to get some of those. Anyway, so this was the weekend that I saw the long shot. So this was about three weeks ago. And I set the reminder on the sneakers app. I was like, okay, I want to give it a shot. I'm going to go for it and see what happens. Prior to that, technically it's twice for those different Off-Whites. So I didn't win those. There were the LeBron medicine balls that I kind of didn't want, but I was just like, for shits and giggles, I'll try it. So that was the second one. That was a third. There was a third time. And then these Jordans would have been the fourth. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to try it. And I was just like, okay, it's going to be what it is. If I lose out, it's fine. Whatever. I actually won. So I just like set my thing and I get a notification saying, purchase when I looked at the thing. But the thing about it is when you win, they're supposed to have that little, picture that says got them. So you like, you feel good about yourself that you fucking won these shoes that you really didn't win. You just got the opportunity to pay $200 for these fucking shoes. You're not really winning anything, but I guess it's like a social thing that makes you feel cool and you can post it on Instagram or some shit like that. But, so I was happy, you know? And I guess those shoes sort of have sentimental value. I talked about it on stage where those were the first, the Jordan 4 retros were the first and only pair of shoes of Jordans that I had. I don't count the Jordans that I got from like, I don't count the Jordan brand ones that I got from somewhere that I liked them and I wore them all the time until they were like beaters. I think I was in college or something, but I really liked those shoes that I had, but I never was like, yo, I'm rocking Jordans. Cause I think by the time I got to college, my mom took me to, my parents and I were just like at Tyson's Corner. And she bought me a pair of New Balance, the 991s. And I guess it's like a thing. I didn't realize it was a DC thing until I moved away that, you know, we like New Balance. And they were so fucking comfortable. And I was like, am I ever going to go back? And I don't know that I really did. And in Chicago, I don't think anybody cared. I mean, I had Timberland. I had Tim's too. And I had other types of shoes. But I just don't think that I was around like theater people. I dressed nice and stuff, like, but I was never like, nobody like, what are those? No, I was the only black dude in my class. Nobody really gave a shit about sneakers in grad school. And the people that I was around, like in Chicago, I just wasn't around the people that were sneakerheads. And I don't think I ever got around people that are sneakerheads until I started doing stand up. And nobody ever really made fun of my shoes anyway. I don't know. So those Jordans, I was 9 years old, and I do a bit about them, and I kind of talked about it on stage last weekend. But my dad bought me a pair of those Jordan 4s, and those are the ones that Jordan, when he hit that shot against Cleveland, and he was like pumping his fist. I think he hit the shot on Craig Elo and that buzzer beater and whatnot. And I just love those. Those are my favorite pair of Jordans. The best pair, I think. But so those had sentimental value, and he bought me those when I got my black belt. And he promised that he would get me those Jordans if I got my black belt. And that was a big deal, because when I was a kid, I don't know if I talked about this before, but when I was a kid going to Catholic school, we only got like one pair of shoes. We had like dress shoes that we would wear every day, and then gym shoes, and then the gym shoes, really. And then those lasted for almost a year. And so going to Foot Locker was an event. Like, I talk about the smell of that pizza. Sidebar, like at Shakey's and shit, there was this big guy. I think the dude's in my Instagram photo where it's about Santillo's. And you could see there's this really big guy that kind of looked like Tony Siragusa, and he was so happy. Like, the look on this guy's face, he was so happy that he was getting a pizza from there. He was like, oh, my God, smell those onions. Oh, my God, man. Like, going into – so I was talking about that and talking about going into Kinchley's last night and actually, like, going into Foot Locker. Like, the smell of new shoes, the best, like, is, like, the smell of – pizza, like, or just like good food, like your favorite food, new car smell, and new sneakers. The smell of a woman too. Smell of a woman, you know, woman smelling good is like better than all those. But when I'm talking about like stuff, like pizza and food and like sneakers and shit, like, those are like that's something that's like just very, I guess it's like sense memory, and that just gives me like a warm feeling of shit. But like new shoes, so it was a big deal, and I think that's probably one of the reasons why I like sneakers. And we were by no means like poor. My parents busted their ass and made sacrifices so I could get shit, but I never wanted for anything, like the bare necessities and whatnot. But like, I think that was something that had something to do with it. It was like a big deal when you got sneakers. And I probably talked about this on Three Guys On. I think we were talking, Paul and Andy and I were talking about like the outlet. We're talking about Potomac Mills and shit, and how you can go there and get some good stuff from the Nike outlet, which I need to, they opened up one by me and I need to go. You can find some good shit in there. I just haven't been. So that was very long winded to get to the point where I'm talking about sneakers, but, excuse me. So that's one of the reasons, cause Kasim was like, oh man, you know, you can't fall in this trap. You're not making as much money as Damian. No, 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 no. Don't do that shit. And I was like, nah, man, it's not that crazy. Because some of the sneakers that I like, they're not. And then I was thinking, like, am I on a roll? Should I try to get those Travis Scotts? And I was like, I don't want to get too crazy. Those Travis Scott Jordans, if I got those, like I was thinking like, I don't want to mess my money up. I don't want to put any more money on my card than I don't need to. And I paid it off like a responsible adult, took care of that today, actually, like a good adult. And I was like, I don't want to get, like, those are like $175. Now they're $1,000. Now they're like over $1,000. And I think people just, where they just get them. I don't know that people rock them like that. I think it's just a sign to say that they won those. Like Desus and Mero, like those guys, like Desus was talking about that, like, because he can just, like a guy like him, he could just get, somebody could get those for him if he really wanted them. And then, like, people just want them because of the hype and not because you really like the shoe. There's a dude named Fomer Simpson that just wears the fucking shoe. Like, he's like, I wore these for 30 days and I'll tell you how they feel and if they're good or not. And he'll do like a review on the shoe and all that shit on YouTube. I would actually wear my shoes. Some would be like show shoes, like the Jordan 4s, even though like it's kind of ubiquitous. You see a lot of people wearing them and the value is not that. I think they maybe now they're 225 and all this stuff. And I went on like, I signed up. Well, I just downloaded StockX and GOAT, and I was asking people on Facebook if like, what do they use it? And some people were like, yeah, they're good. I used a couple, only messed up one time though. And then another person was like, he used it and it worked. And then one time they changed his password and they charged these shoes to his account. And it was really weird. And the homie Dominic Rivera was like, yo, I told you, GOAT. And because some people were saying StockX be having fake shoes and shit. So I don't know. So like, it was just like, oh man, someone. All right. Well, all right. So. Just looking on Facebook, they're just saying like how don't, you know, some of this shit's fake. Some of these shoes are fake. I don't think the shoes that I was interested in, like, cause they're, I don't know. I just need to find a way to navigate through some of this shit. Even though like I can use deductive reasoning, I always like talking to a person that knows more than me about certain shit like this. Cause there are these Nike, what are they called? Nike runners. What a Nike runner. Let's see which now I can't find it. There are these Nike, they look pretty cool. They look like, yeah, okay, Nike React Runner mids. They just look like a cool, like durable shoe that you could wear out like in different types of weather and it wouldn't get fucked up or anything like that. They look pretty dope. And so I was looking, it came up on my feed or something. I was like, Jesus, these look amazing. I love these Nike React Runner mids, and they're like black. And I saw like the, how like I was interested in getting these Vapor Maxes, but these Vapor Maxes, I saw them up close in the Foot Locker. I was like, I don't know. And see, like, they're like, it seems like this shit is overpriced. It's like different prices. It's like, I don't know about that, man. I think they're trying to, but I think it's because it's the certain store that they're selling them. I don't know, man. I can see how women get, I think guys are just as bad as women are when it comes to these shoes and stuff. I don't know. But anyway, I need somebody to talk about this shit with, because I feel like the sneaker app is bugged. And I doubt that I would have won, but with my luck, I think I probably would have. I don't know. If I would have got those Travis Scotts, I'd have tried to flip them for a pair of those Off-Whites or waited till the hype got even bigger on the Travis Scotts and then sold them and got both pair of those off-whites, the desert and the black ones. I don't know. Anyway, sports, NBA Finals. So the Warriors are going to be there, and we don't know what's going to happen with the Bucks and the Raptors. I don't know. Giannis isn't looking like himself. He just looks like he's hurt or tired or dazed. Just he looks like he's kind of out of it. And the Warriors, nobody's going to be. I don't know. You can't. They're such a good team, the way they move the ball. Obviously, the way they shoot these threes, even with KD out. It's hard to beat them. You can't outshoot them. And it just seemed like when I was watching these games, the games that I saw, it was just dudes pulling up for threes and not really penetrating to the basket. I don't know what I'm talking about, but for me, that's what it looked like. And it didn't look like you can't beat Golden State that way. And then hopefully Kevin Durant is healthy and he comes back. But I don't think. I mean, the Bucks provide an interesting matchup during the regular season, but in seven games, I don't know. I feel like everybody just, like, people were trying to say, oh, they're underestimating this team. Did anybody think that these guys were not going to win again? I don't know about that. I mean, the game's still interesting to watch. You kind of want to see him get dethroned a little bit. But I got to tell people whenever we start talking about Golden State, it's like this team was put together through the draft and through free agency. There was a time when Andre Iguodala was signed as a free agent. He was the big acquisition. He was the guy that was a former all-star and a former, like, a great defensive player and somebody that was going to be a great asset to the team. And then you had the rise of Steph Curry and Klay and Draymond. But those guys got acquired through the draft, you know, and they just started playing well. Because I remember Rod and I talking about either we talked about it on my podcast or we talked about it here or we talked about it on the Black Guy Who Tips. Where, like, I used to use them in 2K, like, maybe 8 or 9 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, something like that, because they were the nice, fun, young team, and Steph could shoot threes and shit like that, and it was cool. But it's not fun to play. I mean, if you're trying to play, you're playing for money, you're trying to beat somebody like that, but just, like, doing a season with them, like, it's just kind of not fair, and it's not as fun if you're not playing with the team, you know, that has, you're playing, then if you're playing with a lesser team, you know, you're just kind of like on Game Genie God mode or whatever. Like, you just have all the codes and you're just beating these people's ass. So you can't really, are they really the enemy? I guess you win so much that people start to hate you and stuff like that. They're trying to find shit to say about Ayesha Curry. That stuff is interesting, what she said on Red Table, but it wasn't anything like she, like any woman, any person would want attention. If you've been married for a while, you want to know that people still find you attractive. But she's famous and she's married to a famous guy and he's getting it. I don't know. But that in a nutshell, I think anybody in her position would want that. But whatever. What do I know? I do know. No, I'm not going to talk. I may talk about that in conversation when I'm talking to somebody. I won't randomly bring that up. I'm not going to do that. What else? Oh, also, before we wrap it up, I've blabbed enough for now. But maybe I'll give you 10 more minutes. So also, since I was away from you blokes and lasses, I know what's the female equivalent of a bloke? Lassies? Lassies at the from you guys and gals. I went to the Montclair Film Festival. So last year I went and saw one movie. This year I saw a couple of shorts, and I saw a feature-length film. I'll talk about the feature-length film. I saw on the last night, the last day of the festival, this film called Premature, which is written by Rashad Ernesto Green and Zora Howard. Zora Howard also stars as the lead. She's the lead. She plays this. I'll read you the blurb. Okay. When 17-year-old Ayana, Zora Howard, in a breakthrough performance, falls for a handsome, slightly older man named Isaiah, Joshua Boone, her entire world is turned upside down. But love is complicated. Trust is hard. And when the first blush of romance leads to new challenges, Ayana has to examine her choices and grapple with an uncertain future. Beautifully photographed against the sun-drenched backdrop of Harlem's rapidly changing landscape, Rashad Ernesto Green's Premature is a touching, poetic portrayal of contemporary young love, the story of a woman whose inner strength is a promise upon which the film delivers. This movie's fucking good. And it's, I think, you can put this in the canon. I'm not slicing it. I feel like you can put this in the canon with Love Jones, Love and Basketball. When it comes to like young love, it comes to black people, people of color being in love, and a good, complicated love story. It's a very good film, and I'm so glad that I saw this. I try to make it a point when I go to festivals like this, something like this, and there's a lot of options to choose from, I try to see black shit. I just make it my point. Like when I went to the Williamstown Theater Festival last year, I saw a black play written by a black playwright. Joshua Boone, who plays Isaiah in this film, was in a play that I saw Artney Jackson up at Williamstown, and he's currently in Network on Broadway, which I would love to see. But I don't know if I'll make it, but I would love to see that play. And I'm going to try to make it to Williamstown to see Andre Brower. I will let you know if I make it. But anyway, this movie was really good, and it won one special jury prize in the MFF 19 Future Now competition. What? Okay. Excuse me, I'm sorry, folks. A special jury prize in the Montclair Film Festival 19 Future Now competition went to, she won an award, a special jury prize for writing and performance. Zora Howard did. And it's well deserved. She was actually there for the Q&A afterwards. That was neat. And it got distribution. So I'm sure you'll see it. And remember, you heard it first. You heard me talk about it on the Mundane Festival podcast. The couple hundred of you that listen to this, I definitely would check it out. He did this other movie that I need to see called Gun Hill Road. And his brother recently did Monsters and Men, which is, you can watch that on Hulu, and you can rent it or stream it or whatever. But if you have Hulu, Monsters and Men is on Hulu. Just really good. Just really enjoyed it. Beautiful shots. Black people, you know, people of color. Love story. Really great. And Thursday, a couple days earlier during the week, I went to this screening, this like 5 o'clock screening to see some shorts. They had a block of shorts, fiction, and there were, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So there were 7 shorts, and there were a couple with some black actors, #black actors, couple LGBTQ themed. One I really liked was this film called Lockdown. Shorts are kind of hard because it's like they're shorter versions of what maybe the director is intending to be, like a kind of like a little mixtape or something to get investors interested in their work, to maybe they're gonna, maybe it's a truncated version or a shorter version of a larger idea that they have. So it's hard to talk about these. Like, it's almost like, will you ever see these unless they become feature length things, and then you get the, and they become, the director becomes famous, and then they throw their thing up. They throw it up on YouTube, or they throw it up on a website, or it comes with the DVD or Blu-ray and all that stuff. But there was this one that stuck out, and one that I don't know, like, I low-key, I don't know if I had a problem with it, but it just kind of made me, it was just evocative of a lot of things. And I know you hear me say evocative all the time, like I just learned it, but it just made me think about this one called, they actually did it this way. It's one called Feathers, and let me see if they got like a blurb about it. Let me see. Eliza, an emotionally dejected new enrollee at the Edward R. Mill School for Lost Boys, must overcome memories of a tragic past and the present hazing by his peers in order to tackle larger issues dominating his young life. This was about 20 minutes. This was a 20-minute film. It's like a coming-of-age story. It's black, and it's like they're kind of poor, and it's just like, black people, like, we look fucking great on screen. If you shoot us right, I mean, you know, just being a lover of my people, we look fucking great on screen. But I just don't like how, I don't know, sometimes it's, I don't know, it just seems like, and I don't want to be one of those people that are just like, I was wondering this about myself, like, is it just like the black pain and struggle? Do I not like to see it? Or is that like, do I feel like it's masturbatory because it's used so much? But then I looked up the director. I believe it's a woman. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, thank God she's black. By the end of the movie, I was like, okay, I get what you're doing. And I get artistically what she was aiming towards, what I felt like she was doing, and it's actually a beautiful fucking film. But I was just like, do we need like just like black pain? Like, it's room for it. I think it's just room for all of it. But I kind of just want to see some. I don't know, because it kind of reminded me of Moonlight, like George Washington, which is David Gordon Green's. If it's not his first film, it's one of his first films. It's a movie called Ballast. That, I guess, is just kind of pulling at. It's one of those, like, definitely kind of going for the awards and all that shit. But it looks good. It premiered at, it was a selection for the Toronto International Film. It's good. But I was just worrying about, like, and maybe this is something I got to get. I guess somebody smarter than me to talk this through about like black stuff. But it is good. It is very good. And then by the time it was over, I was like, okay, I get it. And there was two LGBTQ films. There's one that I really liked called Lockdown. Let me see if I can read you. I'll read you the blurb. If you go, you can check some of this stuff out and maybe, you know, follow. If any of them interest you, I think maybe there's some trailers and stuff. But the Montclairfilm.org. And even though the festival's over, you can kind of take a look at some of these, and it's really interesting. Lockdown was low key one of the reasons why locked down in this movie called Will the Machine. It's the reason why I went to see this. And it was like a full, you know, it was cool because I think prior to this, there might have been one other film festival that I went to and I saw a few shorts because a friend of a friend had done a short that was in the festival somewhere in like Rahway, New Jersey, like years ago. And I went to that. But this one was really fucking cool. Let me read you the blurb on Lockdown and I'll talk about the last one and wrap it up. Lockdown. Yeah, okay, here we go. Yeah, this is it. Just like one sentence. Struggling with feelings for her best friend, 14-year-old Marie stages an almost perfect plan. 12-minute film. Basically about this girl that's in love with her best friend who's a girl. And the way that they revealed that was like, oh, wow, all right. And then basically she stages a bomb threat to get to be near this girl. And it's just like, oh, okay. Interesting. But yeah, it's like that was good. But the way that they closed this out was fucking awesome. So Feathers started the festival out off. And there was some good stuff. There was some that was like, they spent money on that. That's my opinion. Whatever. But it's like, y'all did. Man, y'all spent y'all's parents' money and some investing money on, okay. All right. So Feathers was really heavy. Feathers was really heavy. And I was like, man, y'all leading off with this shit. That's okay. And so it ended with this short film, this 8-minute film called Milk and Cookies. And the synopsis is Grace is 5. She wants milk and milk. Grace is 5. She wants milk and cookies every day. Real bad. Basically, this film was about the little girl that wanted cookies. It was so sweet, so adorable. The kid was just fucking adorable. And she had voiceovers. The kid had like voiceovers. It was so funny. And it was just a great way to end that block of shorts. And I thought it was fucking great. I'm clicking on the website. I don't know if they're going to show, if they show the whole thing, but it's just like, no, you can do screenings of it. So I'm assuming this has been selected festival screenings, Palm Springs International Short Fest, Rooftop Films, Hamptons International Film Festival, LA Shorts, Marfa Film Festival, Hawaii International Film Festival. So I guess you could just host the screenings of this thing. But it was really fucking good. It just made me have the hugest fucking smile on my face. Oh my God. Like, there was some intense stuff. Some were like really weird. One was like a Me Too film. And then the way that they did this, it was just fucking, this one was just great. Probably one of the best ones. I would say one of the best I saw that. So, yeah, I was really good. Like, it just changed, like, just that whole night just kind of put me in a good mood. It was just like, you know how you kind of, I wish I could have seen more, but I wasn't trying to spend all that money. Some I looked, I was like, I could wait till that comes out streaming or something like that. Like, that would be cool to watch. Like, last year I just saw Support the Girls. Maybe next year I'll try to see more shorts. I'll try to see a couple more films, but it's so fucking cool because Montclair is just a cool area that they're into the arts, and I try to just support the arts, man. It was fucking great. Like, I was just like, I don't know, the day at work was kind of weird, I guess. I don't know. It was just one of those things where it's just like a long day. And yeah, some bullshit did happen at work. It was something like, really? This is what we doing, young? This is what's going on? Really, young? Really? And I was like, okay, I'm going to this film festival. I'm going to see these shorts. And it just fucking, this milk and cookies short thing just kind of put me in a good mood. It's kind of shitty that I'm talking about it and you guys can't see it, can't see any of them. But I was just telling you about my life. I can give you some plugs. Tomorrow, if you're in New York City, I'll be at The Third Man. That is a bar in the East Village. And that's on a show. Let me see what the name of the... It is called The Third Man. I know that much. That's on the 23rd. Third Man's one is at 116 Avenue C. I'm going to be there. And then next week, May 31st and June 1st, through June 1st, I'm back at the Borgata making my triumphant return. Two shows, one show Friday at 9 p.m., second show Saturday at 9 p.m. So that's going to be good. It's going to be fun. Come to the Borgata, gamble, get some food from the noodle place, the Asian spot. And then they had good General Tso's chicken. And then they had a place. What's the other place that I went to? I don't know. Food's good there. I think that's it, folks. Let's see. What else do I want to say? No news on The Last of Us 2. I haven't played Days Gone in 2 weeks. I only played it for an hour. It's kind of making me think my decision. It's not a bad game. I just haven't had time to play it. I keep seeing these. I get these Google alerts on The Last of Us, and they keep saying that they're close to getting to the finishing stages. I'm hoping it comes out by the end of the year. So we're almost at the halfway point of the year. So 6 more months. If we got to wait till October, I'm cool with that. But don't show me these. I don't give a shit about PlayStation 5 until you give me a Last of Us release date. Until I can pre-order that fucking game from the PlayStation store. Not only am I going to get it digitally, I'm assuming they're coming out with some special edition where I can get an Ellie statue or some shit. I'm pretty sure that they're doing that. And I'm gonna get that version, and I'm gonna get it digitally, and I'm excited about that. So I don't care about PlayStation 5. I really don't. I don't give a shit. So let me know that. Also, Little Brother's back. They're coming back. Fonte and Big Pooh. Ninth Wonders maybe not or something. Maybe he's gonna do a couple beats, but Fonte and Big Pooh are coming back. That's really awesome. Part of me feels like a hipster in the way that, like, everybody's happy about it. Like, were you really talking about, well, you know what? Maybe it's just because I'm a hardcore fan, but, like, now. And I guess there's more people my age, the people that I follow on social media probably were listening when they were, like, in their 20s, too. So maybe I'm not giving them that much credit, but there's a lot of people are excited about them being back, and they're going to be at the Hopscotch Festival. See, I'm talking about some shit that I don't know about. Let me just put this. Well, what I do know is that I'm excited, and I will support them by buying the music and going to a show if they're in New York. Why do they have to say Little Brother announces reunion without Ninth Wonder? They're still friends. Jesus. Let's see. I thought they were something at like the Hopscotch Festival. Yes. Okay, Little Brother fans rejoice. Fonte and Big Pooh with the announcement of Hopscotch Festival are back working together. That means new music and, yes, a Little Brother tour is on the way. So Hopscotch Festival will take place in Raleigh, North Carolina, September 5th through September 7th. Ooh, would that be fun? That's going to be dope. So I'm excited about that shit. I mean, I think everybody is. So I'm hoping, I'm assuming that they will be coming to New York and I will be there. So really happy that those dudes are back. They're both are doing great on their own, but it's good for them to make that, to come back. Because I would have just been happy with, I was happy with what they left us, what they gave us, like for the years that they were together. And just really listening, like I think I even remember talking about it a couple episodes ago, just like, I think it was on my way back to Pittsburgh where I just kind of rediscovered that DJ Drama mixtape that they did. I think it's Separate But Equal. And then like that, the record they did with Mos Def, Let It Go. And just like really was, especially Pooh's verse on that. Fucking amazing. And when I headlined my home club at Levity Live, I came out to that song. And when I came up on stage to, at the Improv, excuse me about that belch, I came up to Loving It. Actually, the sound guy at the Improv, I think it's Daryl, shout out to Daryl. I gave him, he's like, oh, what do you want to come up to? What is your music to, walk on music to be? I was like, oh, let's do Odyssey. Let's do NNGE. I was like, you know, I'm back in DC. Odyssey's one of my favorite MCs. And so we were talking after the show. I was like, yeah, I like that record. I was like, damn, you don't seem like you're into that one. And he said, well, I was like, what about Fonte? What about So Help Me God? Like, that goes hard. And I was like, you know what? Surprise me. And so the next night, Andy calls my name. Andy brings me up on stage. And then little brother comes on, Loving It. And it felt good. Came up to that show. I was like, oh, shit. You know, because I knew he was going to play something for me. But it was just sort of like, it was a pleasant surprise that he went with Loving It. Even though Loving It is like a single that everybody would obviously know if you know Little Brother. That's one of their like seminal hits, if you will. And so that was cool to come on to that. And Verzi and Andy were making fun of me like, oh, you being a diva, telling them about the songs and shit like that. And I was like, well, sometimes you don't always get every club that you're at doesn't always give you walk-on music. But the Improvs, I think the Improvs that I've performed, the Funny Bones I've performed at, yeah, they do. Funny Bones and Improvs or whatever. So, and then at the end of the Sunday show, they were just rocking out to Little Brother. There was another sound guy, and he just let, like, I don't know, maybe he was on a Little Brother channel or he had a mixtape or he was just letting something, just letting all LB shit play. And that was Sunday. And that was going. And I was, and people, and the one of the managers came, was coming back, said, oh, I love Little Brother. And was vibing out. And I was gonna do like an Instagram video. I literally was gonna do this. I shit you not. I was gonna do like, just everybody was cleaning up. And we were just like, everybody was like vibing out to Little Brother. Little Brother was playing as they were closing up and cleaning up the club and stuff. But I didn't do it. I wanted to tag like Fonte and Big Pooh and Ninth, but I didn't want to be like, oh, you guys should get back together. I literally had that in my head to do that. And then Tuesday, they make that announcement. So that's really yesterday. That's really fucking cool, man. So I'm happy. Super happy about that. And on that note, everyone, I hope you have a great week. I hope you're having a great week as you finish listening to this. And I hope you have a great weekend and a safe and happy Memorial Day weekend with you and your family. Take it easy, everybody.